to put the great masters on the pedestal of incarnation is not due to the reality of situation. It is often on the level of reverence, adoration, devotion. People feel incarnation is greater than any evolved human being. As far as the divinity is concerned, any evolved person is in the fullness of it. One doesn't have to be an incarnation to enjoy all the possibilities of life. Don't have to be incarnation. Man has a greater horizon of possibilities as far as living life is concerned than the incarnation. Like an ordained commission. A commission is set up by the government. It is set up only for that specific something. Whereas the governor or any other employee of the government has much bigger scope of activity and freedom and enjoyment of life as such. Incarnations are bound to specific style of living. They have specific work to do. It's not unlimited span of life to be lived and enjoyed, but it's rather a closed thing. For that particular inquiry, come sit here. It's more comfortable. One doesn't have to get to that bounded channel of an incarnate, of the life of an incarnation. It's no depreciation of incarnation, but the comparison is not valid if we compare the life of a realized man and the incarnation. The two structures are completely different. Completely different structures. I would cherish a man more, a fully realized, fully developed man more, if I were to give him a choice between being an incarnation or a man. God consciousness, state of full development, life is enjoyed in its fullness. Unbounded sphere of the absolute and the supreme relative, the celestial, both inclusive, could be the life of an ordinary normal man. One doesn't have to be an incarnation. Just as every manifested object in creation expresses the divine. Everything is the expression of the same omnipresent. Everything in creation is the expression of same omnipresent element. Something reflects that more than other things. It's a matter of degree of reflection. Everything reflects the divine. Some may be in India, they have the conception of the kala. Kala. Sixteen kalas indicate full Brahman, 100% full. 16. Now these 16 kalas, the basis of these 16 kalas is 15 fundamentals of relative life plus one element of the absolute. This forms the 16 divisions. One kala is minimum expression of the absolute. Two is little more than that, three like that. 16 is full Brahman, 100% full Brahman. Now, up to four kalas, see the whole division, the whole creation is divided into four parts. Udbhij, Svedaj, Andaj and Jarayuj. That is, these plant life, vegetable kingdom. And then Svedaj, born of water, animal creature born of water, and then creature born of egg-born kingdom, and then the animals born of the womb, mother's womb, and man is superior most in this fourth category. Each category reflects one kala of Brahman. One out of the total 16 is reflected by each. The vegetable kingdom reflects one. The waterborne kingdom reflects two of the 16. Eggborne kingdom reflects three of the 16. Animals and man begin to reflect four. The first man, the elementary man, least evolved man, first state of human species, that starts to reflect four. And as his consciousness grows, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 7 can be, is reflected by man. Hmm. man rising, it's a matter of reflecting, Incarnations start from 8th kala. Some incarnations of 8th kala, 9th kala, 10th kala, 11th, 12th, 13th, 16th kalas is full Brahman, Krishna. Full 100% Brahman in action. So these, all these different nervous systems reflect different degrees of totality of life. Different nervous systems reflect different degrees of the totality of life. And therefore, there is a great in the human species, very great amount of life that the that man can enjoy. Doesn't have to be incarnation. So we never confuse this incarnation. What we do is grow in pure awareness, grow in consciousness. For that we meditate. Good to have some time for teaching the philosophy of this transcendental meditation, which is a very direct way to the unfoldment of all the possibilities. You have been meditating here long time. Very satisfactory experiences. And that is the unfoldment of finer levels of life. One experiences this and this. Have been very fortunate. Today we are on tradition. I feel to have learned that invocation. With that level, make invocation lively. You invite someone, the invitation is lively only when you have reached him wherever he may be. Maybe by a letter, or by a messenger, or even by a phone, but you have reached him. And that reaching and communicating, that makes the invitation lively. Invocation is that process which effort places the mind, I would say, places the body, physical body, to that state of existence which would reflect that level of consciousness which is intended to be invoked, the body to be brought to that level. Naturally, the mind is brought to that level. Now, as if we have reached home, we have reached the environment, the level of someone whom we want to invoke. And then the communication through these senses of I prostrate or I bow down and thou art this and thou art that and this, all the meaning that is involved in the expressions of invocation, that meaning. So consciousness held on that level and communication started from there. This is what makes invocation lively. And this invocation energizes one. Energizes. You have seen initiators, they feel more energetic, more lively, much more clearer, as they keep on initiating more and more and more and more and more and more. Now those initiators trained in a hurry, military training due to the need, who fail to get to that level where invocation is energizing, they feel a little bit fatigued after initiation. And fatigue increases with the number of initiations. But this seldom happens. But I have heard that it's happening in cases. Then this most fortunate task of invocation and initiation becomes a means of inviting misery. Invocation is not that which would in any way